Lord God, we just thank you for Dan. We thank you for the amount of time that he's put into preparing for this message. We thank you that you are going to be speaking in him and through him. I pray that by the Spirit you would just continue to inspire him, give him peace. May something of your goodness and your greatness and how you desire us to be comes through in the words that he shares with us today. Amen.
How's that? Can you guys hear me all right? Awesome. With Colleen putting me on to preach on show weekend, I think she was hoping that there would be less people here. But here we are. Still a good crowd, eh? Thank you for coming out this morning. All right. Before I start, can we just pray together? That would be grand. Lord Jesus, thank you that you are present in this space this morning. May we have the courage and the willingness to listen to not my voice, to yours this morning. May we be encouraged and challenged in the way you see us as we continue in our discipleship to your Son, Jesus. Above all else, this is for your glory, now and forever. Amen. All right, before we kick into things, I want to share a disclaimer. In speaking this morning, whenever I say disclaimer, people get nervous. I'm aware that I'm in a different life stage to many of you. Despite thinking that 25 is old, I am younger than many of the experienced campaigners here today. I'm not yet married and also do not have kids. As much as I try to be, I'm not perfect. I make mistakes and I continue to learn from them. In saying all of this, I'm not coming from a place where I assume that I know everything. I definitely do not have it all figured out. But I feel strongly to share from my heart about the way of life that God invited me into over the past couple of years. My hope this morning is that you are willing to listen to God's voice, whether that comes in the form of a gentle invitation or a more confronting challenge. And along with this, I hope you will have the courage to consider what that may mean for your lifestyle in your apprenticeship and discipleship to Jesus. So with that said, let's crack on. Last week, I was sitting at the lights on Sawyer's Arms Road, just down here, waiting to turn right into Sisson Drive. There were two cyclists in the cycle lane and they had a green light, while cars turning into Sisson Drive had red arrows. As the cyclists moved into the intersection, a car on their side of the lights came buzzing round the corner to turn left on their way to the mall, cutting them off without a care in the world. I was left gobsmacked. As the cyclists passed my car, I overheard them speaking in utter disbelief, offering what I could only assume were some choice swear words that a previously innocent young youth coordinator had never heard before. I was left confused at the recklessness of the driver. I was frustrated that they had endangered the cyclists, but there was something that didn't sit well with a deeper part of me. I don't know the driver, and I don't know what was going on in his or her day. But from an outside perspective, it saddened me that this was another example of our hurried culture. We are living in a time where people, things, and opportunities are becoming more accessible to us. We can connect with people across the world, buy dinner for our family, and order the latest Nikes, all in the 2 minutes we spend sitting on our phones in the car once we've arrived home from work. Minimal effort is required, and we feel the rush of endorphins as we get another thing that we want. To quote Freddie Mercury in Queen, Great song. I want it all. I want it all. I want it all. And I want it now. I could share the startling statistics on our shortened attention spans or the danger of instant gratification, but you don't need me to do that for the reality to sit in, to sink in. If we take a moment, even just a short one, to reflect on how our hearts and our souls are, there is dissatisfaction. And I'm convinced that it is to do with the way of life that we find ourselves wrapped up in. This is evident when you ask someone how they are. There are two common responses at the moment. The first being, I'm busy. The second being, I'm tired. Why are these our responses? Because they are the normal responses in a world that is encouraging us to live life in the fast lane. Because we are immersed in a culture that tells us that to be successful or to have the good life, we should be doing more stuff and buying more things as quickly as we can. Because we are caught up in a lifestyle of hurry. If you just push for that promotion, you'll find happiness because of your professional success. Right, well, I'd better start working extra hours and doing some professional development on the side. Oh, there's the new iPhone 26 Plus with 3D video calling technology and built-in spy software. I have to get that. The battery on my iPhone 26 is rubbish. When can I pre-order it? In using these examples, I'm not wanting to guilt or shame anyone. We all take part in aspects of this hurried lifestyle, and we all get caught up in living life in the fast lane. These things in and of themselves are not bad, but when they become the focus, the most important thing at the expense of our discipleship to Jesus, it's risky business. I don't believe for a second that life in the fast lane was what God envisaged with life to the full. Remember, this is our God who through his son Jesus claimed, I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Jesus did not say, for my yoke is busy, and my burden is heavy with tiredness. Having just finished our series on Micah, we've been left with the simple yet challenging reminder that God calls us to act justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with our God. And although it might seem trivial, the language here is walk humbly. Not run humbly. I'm becoming increasingly convinced that for us to walk humbly with our God, we must slow down and detach from the whirlwind that is the hurried lifestyle we find ourselves caught up in. If left unaddressed, we will become more disengaged from the goodness of following Jesus, grounded in the present moment. So, this morning, I want to give you three reasons why we should live life in the slow lane. Number one, let's take a brief look at Jesus' lifestyle. Jesus himself shared life with people. He had close relationships with his 12 disciples and an even closer relationship with three of them, Peter, James, and John. He would encourage them, he would pray with them, he would journey with them. Let's read from Mark 4 about an adventure that involved Jesus and his disciples. We're near the end of Mark 4, 35 onwards. That day, when evening came, he said to his disciples, "Let us go over to the other side." Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was. Jesus shared life with people, but but he knew the importance of stepping away from the crowds and the demands of the culture. In these moments, he would spend time with his closest friends or withdraw even from them to spend time with God. In Mark chapter 1, it says, "Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place, where he prayed." And this was not the only time that Jesus did this. It was a constant in his lifestyle, coming away from the loud voices, coming away from the busyness, to find time to be still and to be present. Was he tempted to stay and appease the crowds and appease the people? Sure, he was human. But he made a rhythm out of stepping back from these moments. Carrying on in the next part of the story, a furious squall, is that how you pronounce it, squall, came up and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" He got up, rebuked the wind, and said, "Quiet, be still." Then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" Imagine being a disciple in this story. You're terrified that the boat is going under, and you run to Jesus, your master, in a frenzy, and he's just sleeping the night away. You wake him up in disbelief, wondering how he could be sleeping in such a time as this. What's his response? He gets up, has a brief yarn with the wind and the waves to calm them down, and then gently asks his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" Even reading this, I feel discontent at how relaxed Jesus is in this kind of situation. His response wasn't, "Oh, Bartholomew, why have you woken me up this time? First Thomas last night, now you tonight. What on earth is so important?" And it's not, "I'm sick and tired of your disbelief. Why don't you trust me?" Just a gentle response to the situation. And this points to Jesus' nature, settled, calm, yet purposeful. His natural response when woken up was not to leap out of his bed and sprint to the rescue of his disciples. He was unhurried, even in the midst of a storm. Jesus exhibits what I like to call the Psalm 46 posture. At the beginning of the psalm, in verse 1 to 3, it says this: "God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, and the mountains with their surging." In a split second, when it seems like the life is falling to pieces, Jesus can say, "It is well with my soul," having full trust in his Father. His disciples are spooked. They're not in control of the situation. Yet Jesus calmly rises. He knows, he trusts, and he's living in the truth that God is fully in control. Jesus' lifestyle was slow and unhurried, yet purposeful. He would withdraw from the hustle and the bustle to spend time with his disciples or time in communion with God. And from this came the full confidence and trust that God was in control. he role modeled the beauty and importance of life in the slow lane as he walked humbly with his God. Number two, we have been created as human beings, not as human beings. As part of this, we are made in the image of God. Because we are made in his image, God has chosen to love us right from the beginning, because he himself is love. Not because of anything we have done or anything we can do, but because of who he is. Nothing can change that. Yet we live in a world that has twisted this narrative into the need to prove our worth through our performance, or to prove our worth through the things we own, or to prove our worth through money and fame and friends. And this speaks directly to life in the fast lane, to our lifestyle of hurry. We have a topsy-turvy view of our identity, where many of us believe that God will love us if we do the right thing, which speaks to our false identity as human doings. We see ourselves as objects of performance, needing to do the right thing in order for God to love us. No longer are we letting God shape us as human beings, we're letting the world shape us as human doings. So it is of immense importance that we reclaim the truth of where our identity lies. God has chosen to love us as the first action, so we can choose to trust him in the way he invites us to live. This speaks to our true identity as human beings. We can trust in him as we experience his love through the Holy Spirit, being freed from the need to perform to earn his love. When we choose to trust in this, we are beginning to live in the fullness of Psalm 139 as beautiful, creative, capable human beings, sons and daughters of the living God. In doing this, we break away from the lifestyle of hurry, showing that we want to live in the present goodness and reality of God's love for us. Number three, balance. Ecclesiastes 3, at the very beginning, says there is a time for everything and a season for every activity under heaven. Go on a few verses. He has made everything beautiful in its time. And this is so true, but care must be taken here. While we are talking about moving away from a lifestyle of hurry, there are still times where it is appropriate to show haste. For example, if there was a traffic jam on the way to a good friend's wedding, I would hope you'd still want to get there in time. That's an important celebration you wouldn't want to miss. But in saying that, there is a very clear difference between recognizing the appropriate time to show haste and constantly being caught in a whirlwind of a hurried lifestyle. And in saying this, God has designed both work and rest in balance together. This is something he role modeled through his creation story in Genesis. God himself worked for 6 days and then spent the seventh day resting, enjoying his creation. We cannot work productively without rest, but to rest without work puts us at risk of losing a sense of God-given purpose within his creation. In Jesus' day, if a new vine was planted, it would be trimmed back every time it began to bear fruit within the first 3 years of its being planted. After this, the vine was strong enough to support any grapes as they grew. And at the end of every harvest, the vine was pruned back for a time of nourishment and rest before the next fruit grew again. This process meant that the growth of grapes came naturally and effortlessly for the vine. We must adopt the balance of work and rest in our lives if we want to be a meaningful fruit in our work. Within the lifestyle of hurry, we are encouraged to be doing more, achieving more, and growing more. And these are good things. It's part of our DNA that we have a need to progress and grow as humans. But as I said earlier, when this becomes the priority and is not grounded in our relationship with God, we forget that there is time for both work and for rest. To actively disengage from the hurried lifestyle we live in and set aside time for rest is countercultural, but it is absolutely vital in discovering the truth of his yoke being easy and his burden being light. So, there you have it. The answer is simple. Live in Jesus' slow, unhurried, gentle way of life. Reclaim our identity as human and hit the sweet spot between work and rest. Easy peasy. You can probably knock that out in the next 6 to 10 working days, eh? Not. Here's the thing. This is some dense stuff that we're talking about, and it requires a much deeper intentionality in our lifestyle than we may be used to. In my own experience, as I've adopted bits of this in my own life, it feels like 2 steps forward, 1 step back. Some days, 1 step forward, 2 steps back. And others, no steps. Stepping away from our hurried lifestyle is hard. But I want to tell you this morning, it is possible, and it is deeply rewarding. So in saying this, I want to give you guys a few practical tips that I've found helpful in this journey in my own life. 1, start small. How do you eat an elephant? 1 bite at a time. Fantastic. To use the analogy, if you are going to the gym, you do not go and start by lifting the 30 kilogram dumbbells. You do not. You might start with the 4 kilo ones, or the 2 kilo ones, or just body weight exercises. Whatever is your thing, you just start there. But the point with this is that you are starting small and building your way up to bigger weight. The same is said here for adopting a slower lifestyle. This week, your goal might simply to be get up 15 minutes earlier. And before you do anything else in your day, just read through a psalm a few times, just soaking in the goodness of those words. Maybe instead of scheduling back-to-back meetings, you allow yourself a break. You could choose to bike or walk to the shops rather than drive. Whatever it is, start small and gently build from there. As a side note, it is not necessarily about adding stuff in. Tinkering with an existing rhythm or an existing thing in your life might be much better, and that still shows intentionality in adopting a slower pace to your life. 2, be realistic. Is really important. This helps you discern what is feasible or not in the context of your life. For example, if you're a parent with young children, working a full-time job to pay for bills. It's fair to say that your family is your priority for this season of life, and that is a good thing. Remember, Ecclesiastes, there is a time for everything. But the commitments in your season of life may be different to the commitments in someone else's season of life. And I need to make it abundantly clear, this is not a comparison game. It's not a game of who can slow down the best. God is present through all seasons, and he is prompting you in ways that you can adopt an unhurried approach to the season that you're in. Three, this is the last one. Tell someone you trust. We are designed to have a personal relationship with God, but we express that in a community of like-minded believers. Jesus himself had his disciples, the people he trusted deepest of all in his life. So, who is that someone that can support you through the change? You must be honest with them about where God is prompting you to slow down. And here's the thing, they don't need to agree with everything you're doing, but they must hold you accountable, they must be encouraging of your endeavors, and they must be willing to pray with you and for you. Adopting a slower approach to life in the midst of our hurried culture cannot help but pose an intriguing question to those around us. What is different about them? And what a way to practice walking humbly with our God, living in a way that shows we are present and content with Christ in control, despite our own desire to do it ourselves. The brilliant Dallas Willard said this: "The most important thing in your life is not what you do. It's who you become. That is what will take you into eternity. Not the stuff we've done in the 9-to-5 here, but the deeper work that God is inviting us to do as he turns us into the people he wants us to be." I know that there are people here that are feeling worn down, feeling exhausted, and feeling a little bit over it. It has been a big few years, but I'm coming to know the goodness of an unhurried lifestyle, learning to pull back from constantly doing, gently becoming the best version of myself that God is creating me to be. Are you willing to consider what life in the slow lane might look like for you?